You can be turning to the book of Ephesians, the very first chapter in the book of Ephesians. We're in the New Testament. The blood has been shed, the blood of Christ. He's given His body, shed His blood. He's given His apostles the directive to go and share the gospel so that all would know about the saving grace of God and Jesus Christ, who is God. The way I said that, I don't want you to think He's separate from God. He is God. Amen? So we're going to spend some time here in chapter 1 of Ephesians this morning. And we're going to look at God's Word. And while we're doing that, you might hear something that you're not sure about. Something a little different or something new. Don't be perplexed by that. Just use it as a sign that God is motivating you to dig in deeper into His Word. Get in your personal Bible study. Make a note of it. And then go back to the Lord and see what He can tell you about it, right? It's your motivation to look deeper into Scripture. Should you hear something with which you disagree? Oh, that doesn't sound right. I don't know if I can agree with that. That's okay, too. Look into that. Look into that. And if you feel the need to come see me and tell me about it, that's fine. I love that. We'll talk about it. And also, I would remind us that the God we worship is a God of unity. A God of unity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are God. They work together. They have been working together before the creation of the world. And they're still working together right now. Yes, their primary emphasis, the assigned task that they had may have been finished. It may be finished. But together they still support each other in unity, making sure that everything is moving according to God's plan. You see, we should remember that God has a plan. And He didn't start all this before He had the plan. He's not doing this on the fly. No, He has a plan. And He's working that plan. That should give us comfort. That should give us boldness to know that we have a God that has planned all this out. Just for us. So that we can be redeemed and be strengthened to do what He would have us to do while we're in this world. We have an assignment while we're in this world, and that is to go and tell about the goodness of Jesus. Tell His gospel, the good news that our sins can be removed and we can be in unity with God without worry. Amen? The God we worship is a God of unity with three personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is by the will and power of the Godhead. That's what we mean when we talk about the Godhead, the three in one working together to bring their plan to fruition. We'll see where that plan is going to end up. The Godhead who brings all things into creation and then makes them work together for us, for our salvation and sanctification. Amen? Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, be with us now. As we look into Your Word, Lord, help us to glean out the things that You have for us. No matter what level of faith we're at, Lord, we're here because we trust in You as our Savior. And we want to know more about the way You work and the way You love us and the way You help us in this life. Help us to see those things. Help us to read between the lines and then double check what we see there and study Your Scripture. Search it out, Lord, to make sure we're on the right track. Because we want to be truthful about what You've done, who You are, and what You want us to do. So, Lord, help us this morning and every moment in this lifetime, since we've given our hearts and lives to You, Lord, help us to fulfill Your mission for us in this world. We know You love us and You'll do it. You've given us Your Holy Spirit to help us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and we're starting at verse 1. Ephesians 1:1, and I just feel like maybe I should read down through verse 14. That's what we're going to cover this morning. And I hope that I've planned this out so we can get it done in the time given. So I know you don't want to miss lunch, right? Just kidding. So the scripture says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
Amen. You know what that purchased possession is? It's you. Praise the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is the author of this letter. He is a man specifically called by God to go tell people how the Lord Jesus Christ is able to bring them salvation. Amen?
Amen?
That's why he came. Paul is writing believers in Ephesus to encourage them with more revelation of the mystery of life in this world through Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you know everything about the Lord? Of course not. But we can learn and we can learn and we can learn, and we'll do that until we're taken out. Amen? The salvation of Jesus Christ. These people that this letter is written to, like you, already have salvation. They are born again. And they are faithful. They need encouragement, though. They've been through a lot of things. They've had false teachers in their church that they've had to deal with. They've had people come through that lied to them and were not honest. And now Paul and the Holy Spirit, they are working together to bring these people back to a point where they can serve the Lord in joy and not in fear, right? That's where we're at. That's what we're talking about. So they have their salvation and they're faithful, but they need encouragement. Need encouragement about the benefits of Christ as they walk in the Spirit in this world. That's what we're supposed to be doing, walking in the Spirit, exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, sharing the love, the kindness to show others, it's possible. It's possible to have peace and joy in this world. That's exactly why God gave us His Word in writing. Because we walk in an anti-God world. Have you sensed that?
Amen.
There's not much talk out there about God, is there? And if there is talk, it's usually not encouraging. It's like, I can't believe you believe that stuff. But it's true. It's all true. We have the blood of Jesus Christ to say, yes, it is all true. God's grace is received immediately upon our confession of faith. Did you know that? The moment you cry out to the Lord for salvation, He redeems you. He gives you the Holy Spirit and puts Him in you. He comes into you to guide your life. From that moment on, you have God in you to guide your life. And you know what? You don't get just Holy Spirit. You get Jesus as well. And you get God the Father as well. The entire Godhead resides in you. So call on Him. Ask Him to help. Are there any times in your life when you feel like you could use some help? He's right there. Just go to Him. He'll answer you. His peace comes as we humble ourselves and walk in the Holy Spirit. We have salvation through our confession of faith. But how do we get that faith? How do we get that peace? We walk in the Spirit, keeping our minds focused on Him. Oh, I know you have things to do in life. You have a job you have to do. You have bills you have to pay. You have places you have to go. But while you're doing all that, you should keep your mind fixed on Christ, fixed on the Holy Spirit, and walking in Him. Let Him guide your steps, right? Walk in the Holy Spirit, following the Spirit's lead. You think that's a safe thing to do? I don't think of anything more safe. He's God leading you. Amen?
Amen.
Look at verse 3 and 4, please. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And that's God's love, not earthly love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons. Now, ladies, it's a generic term. Now, I'm going to ask you something, ladies. In the creation, where did the woman come from? She came out of man. God took a rib out, right? So, in effect, we are all in man, right? We're human. That's a generic term. And so don't be offended by that. You're included. You're never left out. Right? Does that make sense? So, we're in Christ. And we've been called as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, His want, His desire, not ours, His. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He made us accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
That would be Jesus Christ, right? Amen. We are accepted in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, because of His actions, His faithfulness, His obedience to the cross. Praise to the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because the perfect plan of creation and creating a final sinless world where believers, we as believers, will live in an abundance of love and peace and a full life with the Godhead.
Amen.
We'll all be together there with God Almighty. That's what I term the unity of the Godhead. God Almighty, they're all there. They're all working for us. Who are the us that God chose? Who is that? Here's what I would submit to you, that the us is the full complement of humanity. Every human that ever was born from their mother's womb. Everyone. Here's what 1 Timothy 2:1 through 4 says. Therefore, I exalt, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men and women, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all. How many? All. He desires all to be saved. All men, all women. His desire is that they all be saved. Yes, that's God's desire. He doesn't want to leave anyone out. He wants all to be saved. Yet, will all of us be saved? No. Because everyone will not accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They will deny it, and therefore they will not be saved. For God also gave the required condition of being saved and being included in the us that is going to be saved. The beginning of verse 4 states this. He, God, chose us in Him, Christ. You're not going to be chosen unless you're in Christ. That's the condition. God's condition is you must be born again. You must be, or you will not be included. God said that. Jesus said that. It's the requirement. This is the only way a person can be declared holy with no sin, through Jesus Christ and His shed blood and battered body. It's God's love cleansing you from all sin. Paul goes on to verse 5 and he says, did God have a plan for creation? Did He have a plan for creation? Let's go back and read verse 5. How about that? Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, God the Father, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace. All right? So, it's God's desire that they will all be saved. The beginning of verse 4 tells us that He chose us in Christ. That's the condition. We must be in Christ. Paul goes on to verse 5 and he says, did God have a plan? Yes, He did have a plan for creation and humanity. And when was that plan created? Before the foundation, before God created anything, He made the plan. The Godhead made it. So God's plan was predetermined. It was predetermined, and God made salvation available to who? All men. Didn't leave anyone out. All men as part of His plan of salvation. The plan was that humanity would be adopted into God's family. Did you know you were adopted into God's family when you received Christ? You are there. You're part of His family. You get that by your acceptance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He provides for the adoption. He provides for it. This is the good pleasure of God's will. That's why He spoke. His good pleasure. That's what God wants. He wants us to be part of His family through accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. This is God's greatest spiritual blessing implied in verse 3. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. This is the most important one. That you be born again to be adopted into Christ's family. When that happens, then you have the guarantee of eternal life. You don't have to worry about being separated from God. You don't have to worry about being punished for your sins. You don't have to worry about never being joyful again. You don't have to worry about an eternity of dying. Because that's what's going to happen without Christ. It's God's greatest spiritual blessing. By His grace, God grants salvation to humans through faith in the propitiation, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He bought our way in. He paid the payment for our adoption. That's how great He is. By God's grace, He transforms humans back to perfection, last seen in the garden. We're going back. We're going back to the garden. Oh, it's not going to be the same garden. It's not even going to be on the same earth. It's all going to be brand spanking new. And we're going to be there. Amen? This is the reason the redeemed, the born again, continually praise God. Praise Jesus, who provided our redemption by His obedience. He obeyed God. He obeyed the plan. He didn't deviate from it. He tried and didn't try to get out of it. He made sure in the garden, this is what You want Me to do, Father? Yes, this is it. The time has come. Did He do it? Oh, yes, He did. He submitted fully. Fully. Let's look at verse 7 down through 10. In Him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. He's going to gather all things into Himself. In the fullness of the times. What are the times? It's every era of life on earth, from the creation through the time we go to glory and we're with Him. It's the end of the earth. It's the end of human history. That would be right after the millennial kingdom. It will come to an end and we will all go into glory for eternity. That's our destiny. Yes. That's our destiny. That's where we're all headed. Amen? The blood of Christ cleansing us, restores us to our holy and righteous nature in Christ. We are there now. We are holy and righteous. But what holds us back? Our sinful flesh. We have to deal with it moment by moment. You don't go for any length of time that you're not challenged by the world. To do something wrong and stupid with your body, with your thoughts. You see, your body includes your mind. It's in your brain, your thinking, includes your heart, your emotions. It all counts. It all counts. That's why we need a Savior. His indescribable, limitless grace enables our redemption. But that's not all. It also enables our inclusion into the family of God. We are now adopted into that family. Brothers with Christ, sisters with Christ. Not equal, but we are there in the family, aren't we? Praise God. God put no limit on the riches of His grace. Do you realize that? It's limitless. His grace is limitless. We're the ones that limit His grace because we don't call on Him and we don't use it. There it is. It's available. Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, guide me. Any of those phrases bring Him immediately to your aid. Because you are humbling yourself to Him. You're saying, I can't do this. I need Your help. I humble myself to you. Don't be afraid to do that. He loves it when we call on him. Now, when we call on him for his unlimited grace, it also brings his unlimited wisdom and prudence. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual understanding. He opens your limited mind to his unlimited grace in the scriptures and in your life. He brings things to your memory so you can operate the way he would like to see you operate. What's the only hitch? The only problem? It's us. We have to humble ourselves. We call on him. When we call on him, we have to be ready to say, I'll do what you direct me to do. Even if I don't understand it. I might not understand it. That doesn't mean you don't have to do it. Are you going to trust him? Do you have faith or not? And let me just throw this in there for you. He's not going to ask you to do something that's crazy and out of line with his character and his love and his kindness. You see, he exhibits all of the fruits of the Spirit also. Those aren't just for us. The Godhead lives by those as well, and even more that we're not ready to have yet. But we'll get them one day. So we know the only limiting factor is our obedience. Our obedience. It goes right back to the cross. You know, some people wonder, why did Jesus pray in the garden? Is this the way? He wanted to be sure. You can ask God, is this the way? You don't get another answer, then that's the way. Be obedient. God did all of this. All of this love, all of this grace, all of this watch care over us, all of this aid to us, he did it all by his careful and considered plan before creation was even begun. And he's going to make it all work eventually in a new and perfect world called the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. And you have the pre-release information. You have the movie reel right here in your hand. Right? He's telling you it's coming. And you can read all about it right in here. Remember the old days? Read all about it. Here it is. The phrase, the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. First of all, what is that? What does the will mean when we say it's the will? It's the desire of the heart. The desire of the heart and mind that makes us do things. It's our desire. The will. And this says, the phrase, the mystery of his will means the big picture that gives context, meaning, and purpose to God's plan. You have the big picture. You can read about it. It tells you. We even know where we're going now, don't we? We have all of the necessary knowledge that we need, right? But God doesn't stop with the big picture. He gives you the details. He supports the big picture with all the details that are in God's Word. So if you want the details, there they are. Look them up. Read about it. He has let us in on his plan by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit wrote this book. He used men to pin it down, but he wrote it. This is God's plan. And so you have it all. In education, there's two kinds of thinkers. The first kind we call global thinkers. That doesn't mean they think about the world. No, it means they have the big picture. They get it, right? I don't need all those details. All I need to know is Jesus died for me. He cleansed me of my sin. I'm ready to go. I've got faith in him. But then you have these thinkers that are called analyticals, the analytical thinkers. They're not satisfied with the big picture. They have to have the details. Tell me how this works. Tell me how that works. Where's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? All those details. We get most of those in here, don't we? From His Word. So He gives us both. He honors both kinds of thinkers. Verse 10, at the end of human history, after the millennial kingdom, God will gather all things. Just wrap your brain around that. All things God will gather to Himself in His kingdom, but not here. Oh, we see you. Okay. God's going to gather everything to Himself, but it won't be here on this earth. It's going to be in the new heaven and the new earth. In this new universe, all things will be in unity with the Godhead. It'll all be joy because we'll all be on the same page of the music score, right? We'll all be playing His tune. We'll all be dancing to that tempo. It'll be a wonderful time. Amen? Can't wait. Verse 11 and 12. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. It's not good enough that He's going to give us a whole new creation to live in. He's going to give us an inheritance. Because we are now His children, you understand. He's going to give us a whole new inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Who's on His counsel? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the counsel of His will. That we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. Praise of His glory. He gave Himself. We trusted that. Now He can also praise. We can praise all in that glory that He gave Himself. Verse 11, going back and recapping. Behold, in Him all things have passed away. All things have become new. That's what the Scripture says. This inheritance is given to the born again. Only the born again are going to be there. And they're born again through Christ. God determined that every born again person, every born again person would be part of Christ's inheritance. Now don't worry about those Old Testament saints. They're included. They had faith in God because they knew their Savior was coming. He hadn't gotten there yet, but their faith was in the Messiah who was coming. And then He came. And so those that were there when He came, they saw their Messiah face to face. And their faith was in the present. And then He left again, right? After He did His work for us. And now we're looking back on that. Is He here with us? Absolutely. And we know that through His Word. So, God's purpose, according to the Godhead, was to bring creation to perfect completion according to God's plan. God's plan is perfect. So when it's all said and done, it'll all be perfect. You believe that?
Amen.
You trust in that?
Yes.
Will you bet your life on it?
Yes.
You already have if you trust in Jesus. God's glory, His reputation, His honor, who He is, the highest priority to God. He cares about what people think about Him. He cares. He wants us, the born again, to understand that priority and live in a way that defends His glory. We're His children. We should be living a life that honors and glorifies Him. That's what He wants from us. And by the way, while you're doing that, you could be drawing others to knowledge of the Savior. And they might be getting saved as well. So please live like you believe that Jesus is God. And honor and glorify Him, please. Verse 13. Him you also trusted, Jesus Christ. You're trusting Him. Him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're not in heaven yet. You're not in glory yet. But you have the promise. And the seal of that promise is God Himself, the Holy Spirit. He has sealed you in. You cannot escape it. Oh, what about people that are claim to be Christians and they just do all kinds of stuff? They dishonor God. God knows that. And He does things in their life to try to get them to honor and glorify Him. And if nothing works, if all fails, He might just take them home. He has that power. He has that authority. He has that love that He won't let them go off the deep end. He'll take them home first. It happens sometimes. It happens. But you, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. You are guaranteed that it's going to happen for you. Guaranteed. And it's not like one of those guarantees, hey, if you send in this payment, you know, we'll guarantee you we'll knock off a payment. Doesn't work, we'll give it to you free, you just keep it and we'll send your money back. No, it's not that kind of guarantee. It's God's guarantee, the person of God guaranteeing that what He says is going to happen.
Amen.
And you can trust Him. You have a whole history of His work and people trusting Him and how that worked out for them. We, accepting the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's us, to the praise of His glory. The purchased possession, us in the new heaven and the new earth. After you heard the gospel, you believed and you were saved. Now, it doesn't always happen bang, bang. Sometimes there's a time factor in there. You heard, but you waited. You heard again. You waited. You heard again. But eventually, you believed. We all have different stories of belief, and that's okay. The thing is, you did believe and give your heart to Jesus. And at that point, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guarantees your inheritance. You don't have to worry about it. It's all going to be there just for you. He guarantees your inheritance. He guarantees your salvation. He guarantees it. Until you appear face to face in front of Jesus Christ. And that's not the end of the guarantee, because you're going to go right on through to glory and spend eternity with Him. That's the good news. Do you have that? Do you have that security? If you have any doubt that you're not in that place of security in Christ because He shed His blood for you, if you haven't accepted that, then you need to do it. You need to do it. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. That doesn't mean the Lord's going to come back today, although He could. He could do that. But we have a whole world of challenge out there that's just looking to bump you off. It happens. Nine people every day, minimum. 9 people every day in Florida are killed in traffic accidents. So there's no guarantee for tomorrow. So don't put off calling on the Lord. He wants you to do it. Amen? I hope you'll make a decision to trust Him as your Savior and then live for Him. Live for Him. Follow the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we've learned something today about You, about us, about the world, Lord, and about how we need You so desperately, moment by moment, not just for salvation, but for life itself. Lord, help us to humble ourselves to Your Holy Spirit. Follow Him. Listen to Him. Humble ourselves to Him. that we might live a life that glorifies you and attracts others to want to know why we live this way. It's all about you, Lord. Help us to show that in our life. That's what we want to do. That's our desire. Help us, Lord, to control our thought life, our actions, so that we can be a glory to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.